Okay, we have enough to start the meeting, so welcome to the June 22nd Planning Commission meeting, work session. And we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance that I didn't appoint, so I'll do it myself.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, commissioners. So we'll go to agenda item number one, which is the declaration of conflicts. Does any commissioners have any conflicts to declare?
No.
Nope.
There being none, we'll move on to agenda item number two, which is training. Steve? Oh, it's not Steve.
It's me. And actually, the training is going to be too crazy. Steve, in his email, I asked him to ask for any questions that any commission members had. We actually received none back, which is fine. Going forward, if there are questions, anything that comes up, how to do it, specific or general, just send them to me, because I think training would be much more beneficial for the commissioners if I was actually addressing something that was of concern. So I'll just throw that out there. Please feel free to email me or call me if you guys have questions or concerns. We'll do that. I passed out, and I'll save some for the rest of the commissioners, but these are just our rules and regulations of the Planning Commission. Probably good to review from time to time. It's about 9 pages. It's not too cumbersome or too complex. Just a couple things I wanted to point out as we've gone through some of our meetings lately. There's been a couple questions regarding potential conflicts. Obviously, if any commission member is worried about a conflict, better to bring it up, right, and talk about it. And then there being none. The biggest thing with conflict, the biggest concern, both in our rules and regulations and the state code, would be financial interests. So financial interests at all are raise them. Obviously, in Roy and other like-minded communities, you're going to know people. You have friends. You speak with friends. There are people that you meet at a soccer game or whatever. That doesn't necessarily conflict you out of voting on an issue per the rules and regulations in the state code. The biggest thing would be, obviously, money. So that's just kind of some guidance there. Our rules do allow, if there's a potential conflict, you disclose it, and the commission members, if needed, could actually vote on whether or not you have a conflict. But quite frankly, in my mind, if we're voting on whether or not you have a conflict, you should probably just sit out as a matter of, better to not bend, to be even close to that line. Again, specifically, if questions come up, feel free to contact me at any time. Another one, gifts and favors. This is nothing that I've been aware of or that I'm worried about. But just something to keep in mind, as a commission member, you can't take any gifts or bribes. I don't think that's happening. The state code allows de minimis gifts, less than $50. So if you go to a function and they have a water bottle for you, that there's nothing wrong with that. But that's something we just want to, again, stay clear from. Also, I don't think this has been an issue in Planning Commission so much, but it's important to note out our rules and regulations of the Planning Commission cap meetings to end at 8:30. So maybe going forward, if there's some contentious issues, it's probably important to note that and have that in our mind. Rules, I don't want to say these rules and regulations are flexible, but obviously with public hearings they are. So the chair has authority to extend that if he feels it appropriately, but technically our meeting should end at 8:30 if they're going past that. I think it's good for the commissioners to just go through the procedure, some of the motions, things like that. The only other things I want to talk about, and Mr. Cowley and I actually had a conversation about this the other day, there are some pretty specific rules about the conduct of commission members and the public in meetings. You know, Mr. Homer's in attendance today. If Mr. Homer didn't like my training, wanted to get up and yell and scream at me and call me all sorts of names, not that I think he would do that, but it is certainly within the chair and the commission members under the law and the rules to just tell Mr. Homer to leave. This is not somewhere where threatening and yelling and screaming is appropriate. Quite frankly, there's cases and things where people who ask the audience to clap and cheer have been asked to be removed from public meetings. Obviously, we want the public involvement, but there still are rules of decorum for both the public and the commissioners. Commissioners obviously need to be respectful and follow the procedural rules as much as possible, but I thought that important to highlight as we move forward, getting back into person with some of the things that have happened during COVID. So, other than that, I would just say go through the roles. And I just kind of wanted to point out, quite frankly, I wished everyone was here because I think maybe a conversation is in order sometime, but I want to just kind of probably remind the commissioners of what our duty and roles are. Obviously, with any legislative item, you guys are not making policy. You're not changing codes. You're not changing ordinances. You're a recommending body to the city council who's elected, who will make those decisions. So I think it's important to recognize that. I think all of our discussion and the input we get from public is certainly valuable. But ultimately, you guys aren't the decision makers on legislative policy. If you guys want to do that, you get to run for city council and win a vote to do that. We are final on some of the administrative things in here. So important to remember with administrative things, oftentimes some of the administrative things we might not like, right? We might think the site plan for John Smith's bakery is disgusting and looks ridiculous. All right, whether you like red versus green or whether it should have wood and not steel, that's not really our purview on those administrative items. Our purview is, does it meet our code? Is it lawful in Roy City? If it is, by law, we approve it, right? So just kind of a good thing to remember there. One other practice point kind of that I've been thinking about, I think oftentimes when we talk about some of these legislative items and land use issues, I think it's important maybe for the commission members to kind of pause and think about where we are in the process, right? In my mind, if we're talking about a zoning change on a piece of property, the number of apartments that they want to do probably isn't the right question, right? Because that's not what a zoning change is. It's certainly part of it, but I would hate to get us into where we have a line of questioning and then get in trouble later because our reason or our apparent reason for making a decision is based on something that hasn't even happened yet. So just as we walk through that process, let's kind of think of where we are, what our role is, what our function is, and ask probably more relevant questions to the private landowner.
So when you say get in trouble, what do you mean?
Okay, let's just say, and this, let's be honest, in Utah, the way planning commissions are set up, I don't want to say you never get in trouble, but there's a lot less liability than some other states, other places that have different commission members. But let's say I own a piece of property and I want it zoned Y, it's zoned X. You start asking me questions, okay? You say, well, what are you gonna do? And I say, well, I wanna put a horse ranch on it. And you say, well, I think it should be apartments and horses are dumb. Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay, well, that's not really the question of whether or not you like horses.
Right.
It's a question of, should it be zoned? Why? So now you, as a commission member, deny it. Now I potentially can say, hey, you're denying this because you don't like horses. Again, in Utah, it's rare. I'm not saying that's happening. I'm not saying you guys are doing that, but I just want us to make sure we understand the process and make sure we stay in our lane at that point in time. Does that make sense? Did I answer your question?
I just want to know how far I can take it before I actually really get in trouble.
I can't answer that.
I'll tell you after it happens.
No, I get it.
If you see me waving, then stop. But... Yeah, again.
Yeah, no, relevant questions, because I know it always, you know, you mentioned the hot term, you know, high density housing, and everyone's
sure.
Like, oh my gosh, slums are coming in.
Right.
You know, like, that's not necessarily.
That's not necessarily true.
Right.
And when we're talking about a zoning change, you're not approving high density housing. You're approving this piece of land to be R18 to R14, whatever, right?
Yeah, Steve's pretty good at
that's all we're doing.
Center focus.
Yeah, and I'm not, and again, I'm not bringing this up because I think you did a bad job in April.
Well, you keep pointing at me.
I'm not. It's because you're directly across from me. Right? That's not why I bring it up. I just think it's important to remember that and throw this out. This is my job. That's what I've been tasked to do this evening. So let's think about that a little bit. Otherwise, I think the commission's done a really good job. Especially during COVID. COVID was hard for everybody. You know, electronic meetings, while there's some great benefits to them, they're very hard. And getting to communicate with that many people on an electronic meeting is tough. But overall, I think, you know, we kept moving forward. We did the best we could, and you guys are all to be commended for that. So that's about all I have this evening. But again, if you guys have questions, if you want to know what's too far, ask me before the meeting, okay? Or during the meeting, look at me and I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But again, none of these I brought up are specific to anyone or any issue, but just things I kind of wanted to touch on, and I wanted to make sure. I think it's good to go through those rules and regulations every so often, just so they're in our mind a little bit as we start to do more meetings, especially as we get into person and, you know, the people we're talking to and arguing with are right across the table. So, and then again, if there's any questions or concerns, general or specific, ever call me, email me, whatever. I'm happy to help.
Thank you, sir, for your time and your training.
Great thing about it, and I'm sorry to interject, and Brody can smack me if I get out of turn. Like on rezones, I mean, I may recommend approval because I think it fits, but in your guys' discussion and during the process, you guys can still recommend denial based on what you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think that's a great area. I don't think it's a great fit. But be very, you know, like Brody said, kind of general, not, you know, I think the homeowner is a dork, you know, don't start getting personal, but keep it broad. My opinion is we don't, you know, it doesn't look great or shouldn't be there. Those are things.
Well, also, even if we deny it, their plan, we're just a recommendation body. Like, you can still go to the city council, and they love horses, and they just override us anyways.
And who doesn't love horses?
I agree 100%. Very good.
Steve. No.
That explains so much. He's a cat person.
Yeah. I've had two experiences with horses. One of them kicked me and the other one bit me. I don't like horses.
Hey. Maybe they don't like you.
No. More to the point.
Catch more horses with cubes of sugar and apples.
That's what I'm thinking.
I like iron horses. Okay.
Plan update.
I think this would be good maybe if we just had this setting like every meeting just up there that we could refer to maybe, or like a quick reference or something.
The rules and regs?
Yeah, just have it sitting right there in our chair when we get there.
You've got copies now.
I know.
When we're live in person, I don't know what the word is, but we actually do have a copy of those available for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're available. They're on the city website. If you go to the Planning Commission department, you can download a PDF. You can print them
I mean, the main page, there's a hyperlink to them, so it's not,
yeah,
they're not secret.
And they're in your...
But we can print them off for you.
Yeah, I got
them. When I give you the code, I put it in the very first part of it, so...
Yeah. No, it's a good reminder, yeah. Like speed limit signs.
So we're getting credit for this training against our 4 hours or whatever it is, okay. Since it's attorney training, it ought to be double.
Especially if you understood it.
Yeah.
Okay, triple.
Can't wait till you, this meeting's over. Can't wait till the record goes off.
Okay, let's move on to agenda item number 3, which will be the discussion regarding the general plan update.
So the memo I gave you, or sent to you, it was more of, I know we had talked about having some open houses. We were hoping COVID would start releasing and stuff, and we kind of, I mean, I think we were talking about open houses in November, but it's kind of, you know, prolonged. But I think now we're at a time where we can get more people together. It's really time to just have some open houses on it so we can get some, you know, more public comment. It's great to have things online, but we only had 5 people comment in a 1-year time frame. So it's like, you know, people aren't necessarily going on and looking at it, even though we had, you know, a video talking about it, and we put it in the magazine 2 or 3 times. I know I put it in twice. I think Diane spoke about it once. So I think if we do an open house and get the word out and hopefully get people coming, we can get a little bit more feedback on it. So tonight was more of what dates do you guys like? You know, we can have them on work session nights, you know, the 4th Tuesday of every month, and do it for 2. And I was thinking do one at the library and then one down at an elementary school kind of to the southwest, and then kind of have it in different parts of the city.
That works for me.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
What would that look like, the open houses? Is it just, they're going to be the
individuals that wrote it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll have them there.
Have some presentation.
Yeah, they'll probably do a little presentation on what it is, and then have some poster boards that we can go and have people talk about and kind of answer questions. And it's kind of a come and go as you please.
And that paper maybe that they can write down comments on certain things.
A lot of times I like it right on the map. You know, leave some pens and some markers in case you're not talking to someone. They can just go, here it should be this, or there it should be that.
Maybe like sticky notes that people can...
You can do that too.
Yeah.
So there's lots of ways. I know I've been to a few UDOT and UTAs and other, you know, Vision Utah, where they just have the poster and they might have just 2 or 3 presenters or people talking, but they're gabbing for 10 minutes. You're like, okay, I'm just going to walk up, and you can just circle and write on it, sticky notes. And then you just take the map and say, okay, well, we need to look at this. And
okay.
So really informal, but, you know, at least get it out there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when we present to the council, we can say, you know, this is what we've done, when we've done it, and how many people we've...
Do we want to, you say the 4th week of every month?
Yeah, so July and August.
Does July give enough time to get materials out and things prepped?
I will try. I'll get with Morgan on when to get the announcement in the magazine and stuff. I think it'll be the big printout, and then we'll get it on the website and then Facebook. Those are pretty easy to do. So
I think it makes sense to do it when it's already technically planned for the commissioners.
Yeah. I think it'd be good. Oh. I don't have any issues with that.
Okay. That's all that was. Let's get moving.
Yes.
Okay. Would that be it on that agenda item there?
Yep.
All right. Yes, we'll move on to agenda item number 4, which will be discussion of HB 82, internal accessory dwelling units. IADUs.
Yeah.
Mr. Perkinson, I guess.
So in the memo I sent you, there was things that are required and things that are optional.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight's discussion is kind of to go over what options you guys would like to be placed in this ordinance. And I gave you, I think, 5 or 6 of the options that the state said that you guys could look at.
And I think you said some other cities have already been doing this, right?
No.
No?
This is one that they have to have done by October 1st of this year.
Oh, okay. So we can lead the way.
Yeah. All right. I'd like to have it done, and so I can go like this, and then I have to worry about October or September when it comes. I think one important, because a lot of people always complain about parking. They're parking in front of my house or they're parking on the street, is to require a parking stall.
I think that's reasonable and good, especially if you're having an extra family member or non-family member.
We can only require one.
Yeah.
So. But I think, having that extra one in there is good. I can't remember all of the options I sent you.
I can read them.
Yeah.
I like them all. I would put them in myself. But
yeah, I think all of them actually kind of make sense,
The optional part says may prohibit them on lots under 6,000 square feet or within a mobile home. I'm okay with that.
My thought on that is I don't want to say R16, if you want to do a restriction of 6,000 square foot lots, we can do that. Or we just not do it, and the site itself almost restricts it. Where can I put that extra parking stall?
Yeah,
I don't have room.
Sometimes you
can. And therefore, to have the apartment, I don't have a 1980s split level. I can do a basement. Mm-hmm. I want to add on. I can't meet setbacks anymore. Some sites automatically just kind of get themselves out. So to me, instead of just saying, anything less than 6,000, just let the site kind of determine. I mean, even some of these larger lots with our setback of 8 feet on the sides, if you try to get a car to the rear of the yard, you may not get it. So I think some sites are just going to automatically disqualify themselves without being overly restrictive. I know I didn't put in there, but the ordinance requires us that 75% of all our R1 zones have to allow this. And I was thinking, okay, that'd be great. Let's say, exclude the R16, the R17. And I'm like, why? It's pointless.
Just let the individual property take care of itself.
That property will, if it's only 6,000 square feet, you're probably not going to have enough room.
Have you had anybody from the public talk to you about this?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know there's some out there that exist that this will help. Because in the code, the city can't require the splitting of utilities. I think they went into the building code and even modified it where you don't have to do fire separation to make it more cost effective
for the
homeowner to do it. So, some of those that we know about that are illegal right now, as soon as this passes, I'm going to send them a letter saying, hey,
you're in conformance.
We can get you into conformance. Let's get going.
Yeah.
So they don't have that ticket hanging over.
If I remember someplace, HOAs cannot... restrict.
No.
The bill.
But I'm going to let HOAs have that problem. We don't...
Thank you.
We don't oversee the HOAs because I've always had problems with, we have a development that has an HOA.
Mm-hmm.
We're required to review them, but to me it's like, why? I can say this looks great, and then tomorrow they record something different. I can only dictate our standards.
They would never do that.
Oh.
So yeah. You're saying we don't need to include the language on the prohibition of a 6,000 square foot.
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, because if a 6,000 square foot lot can make it work,
it can work. And it became
make it work. If they can get that extra parking stall and have have everything fit within the setbacks, do I care?
So we could scratch maybe the first one and then tack on the second one, and the second one by the additional parking space will almost disqualify pretty much all those anyways, right?
Well, it may disqualify some just automatically. Yeah. It may not.
Okay.
But I'd rather have fewer restrictions. Brody's rubbing off on me here. And let the sites kind of determine themselves than us. Do I care? No.
And part of this, too, I think,
a lot, this mandate's coming from the state as a bigger issue. Steve's touched on it before. We've talked about it. Council has talked about it. The goal is to, the goal of the state would like is for us to be as out of the way as possible. So they've kind of set a minimum standard. I think the parking stall one is totally fine. Mm-hmm. But really, if they can fit the standards that the state's mandated, you know, it's up to you on what additional things we want to do. But the goal of the state is to allow as many people that can and want to do this to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So an what I would call an artificial restriction imposed by us, certainly within our purview to do, if that's what we want to recommend and that's what the councils want to do. But the goal of what the legislation is trying to do would encourage us to limit our restrictions that we place on top of it. Now, we can say, go away, stay, we're going to do what we want, certainly within your purview. But I think kind of an understanding of what the state's trying to do is probably helpful.
Anytime you can go back and if something comes up problem-wise that seems to be rearing its head, you can add that on later.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the state, in my view, has done a pretty good job describing where they can be. And maybe this is terrible to say, but I'm going to say it. It's probably a great idea if it doesn't work, if it comes from the state and not us. Right? If I'm John Q. homeowner who really wants an ADU.
You don't want our fingerprints on this.
No, that's not. No, but like.
It's just shoving off all if the we just problems on everybody else. Yeah. I don't want to do
well,
that.
Well, we followed state law. I'm sorry it doesn't work. Well, no, we added 19 other restrictions. Right. That's why it doesn't work.
Basically, we can avoid
a
conflict.
Lot of, yes.
If we don't make it more restrictive.
We can be peacemakers.
Hey, we're doing what they asked us to do next case. Well,
the original bill didn't allow any of these optional standards.
It was just, you'll do this, end of discussion.
Yeah, end of discussion. And then through the Utah League cities and towns, you know, people complain about parking. There's always never enough parking on site. You know, I don't like this person parking in my front of my house. So that, okay, they gave some concessions. You know, but they're gearing towards those that, you know, you have to have a house that's so big on the land. Mm-hmm. Well, luckily we don't have that, so I just said, okay, that wasn't us. I know someone to the south of us that does, but we won't name them. You know, and then started saying, okay, how can we make it more affordable? And the less restrictions we have, the more affordable it is. Because if we can, you know, don't have to do fire separation, don't have to utility separation, my cost as a homeowner just went plummeted.
Yeah. I will say, especially with Utah's weather, a parking requirement makes a lot of sense.
Because they're in violation of keeping them on the street.
They're going to be in violation
any
time the weather turns bad.
I'm good with that one.
And we're talking about prohibit short-term rentals. Because it's got to be over 30
Airbnb.
Days.
Yeah,
okay, so
like, what?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Originally in 2018-ish, I think is when it was, the Airbnb kind of became the billboard at the time. Because billboard has lobbyists and they get a lot of things passed through the state. Mm-hmm. Short-term rentals became one of those. The state passed some laws and told cities you cannot go back in your code and modify it, so you can't do it. Can't do this, that, or the other. And we couldn't even research them online to find them to require a business license until this year. Because this internal ADU and the short-term rental kind of started colliding. So what they said is, okay, if someone comes in for an IADU, gets the permit, gets approval, and then turns around and makes it a short-term rental, that's violating what they wanted to do. They want this to be a rentable, month-long or longer
solution.
So now we can step on some short-term rental toes and require them to get, you know, some stuff. Again, if we go too far, their lobbyists are going to, you know, go after us, but I think it's good to know, at least, you know, there are the states recognizing that if we allow them to do this and then all of a sudden they do that, we're going to cry foul and bring them back. So that one's pretty, I mean, some of these are pretty simple and easy to say, yeah, put it in there. I mean, we already require a business license if you're going to rent your home, or if you own a duplex and you rent the other. It's $50, no big, you know, but.
So does that may require, does that become redundant if it's already required within the city?
Well, again, this is a new permitted type of use.
Oh,
so
okay.
We'll just say a business license is required.
You just throw that under the what's required.
Here's the standards, and that's why I think you were maybe the Taurus might have been there when we went through the conditional uses, and we kept asking, well, why? Why is this a conditional use? The best one was, why is the multifamily zone requiring a conditional use to have multifamily? It's like, make it a permitted use, list what the standards are, which is half of, you know, the chapters in there, and then call it good. So here, instead of making it conditional or anything, we just permitted, list a few standards, and then off they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it easier for us, makes it legal-wise easier, because we just say, here's the standards, and we don't have any arbitrary things that come up, and so.
What would be the reason for recording a notice with the county?
It was just an option that the state put in there. I think some of it might be just to, in case they wanted to do a search of what's out there. So it is recorded, you know, if someone comes back 10 years from now and wants to buy the home, and I'm saying it's a legal duplex, and the city says, well, we don't have anything on file. I think a recorded thing, when you do your title, and everybody's, you know, no one's seeing the 900 pages that they're initialing. But the city now has a copy saying, yes, it was an internal ADU, it was legal, had a permit. And I think it's paperwork, it kind of helps. I got one guy who's trying to prove to me that this building is a legal duplex, and there's no documentation anywhere. And he got with Rocky Mountain Power, and they split the meter in 83.
That doesn't prove.
Wasn't allowed in 83. So I've told him, you've got to go back to 1972 and prove to me that it was legal then.
One benefit of the recording is exactly that, a title search. I mean, if you're selling a home that has a long-term renter in it, certain individuals might not want to disclose that. Having it on a recorded document would help potential buyers or help real estate transactions.
That sounds like it's.
I think some of them are very, I mean, it's not much to the homeowner. I mean, I think the parking stall would be the toughest one other than the permit to, you know, convert stuff, but the rest of the stuff is really fairly easy and kind of self-explanatory.
Yep.
So I just want to make sure you guys are okay with it, and then we'll put it on the next meeting we can and have a public hearing and move forward.
What about the appearance of the dwelling? Do you guys care if they alter it or not?
I don't care. Because to me it's like, say I have this house.
As you can see it. Oh, that's good.
And it has a front door. And then all of a sudden I want to split this as my apartment and I put another front door. Is it going to really change really the aspect?
That's all I was thinking. Like, if they want to put another separate entrance, does it really make that?
Yeah, I think if we were dealing with historic buildings,
definition.
You know, you have a nice Victorian home that has a very specific front door, then yeah, maybe put on the side, but these 1980 homes.
I don't think we ought to get in the business of being arbiters of taste.
Yeah, if I take a window that used to be here and make it a door, have I really
Why
changed
does the
much?
Government care?
So I, to me, I don't.
It's all about control.
I don't really want to get into how it looks. They'll decide, you know, the homeowner is going to have more of an interest in what it looks like than I will. Because the wife might say, that looks so stupid to put it right there, and, you know, everything's done. They're going to put it somewhere else.
Great. So I think, like, we like the addition, just no parking space, right? The prohibition of the using this as, like, a Airbnb, right? Requiring the business license and just throwing it under there, what we already have. And then recording a notice. Those are the optional ones that we want.
That sounds like.
Okay. We don't care about the 6,000 square feet or the appearance.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Would you guys like to see it before we have a public hearing, or?
I think it's fine.
Then you'll see it in the packet.
Only need it in the packet.
Okay.
As long as there are other commissioners are able to
see it.
Yeah, they can review it.
They can review their notes.
And then if I've messed up on something during the meeting, you guys can remind me and smack me upside
the
head.
We'll make it on the record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that way, we're getting it through. And I know the mayor was concerned when I canceled last month's work session of why did we do this? And I wasn't overly concerned of getting it through the Planning Commission and Council by October. So
we can put it on the 1st July meeting.
Yeah, we'll do 1st of July, and then they have it. They can have end of July, August, and September to get it through. So,
yeah, I think we're all good with those changes. All okay. Three months.
We're okay with that.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Okay.
All right. So that being said, we'll move to agenda item number 5, which will be the commissioner's minute. Any commissioners have anything they'd like to add or discuss?
I'm good.
On topic or off? Okay, there being none, we'll move to staff update. Mr. Perkinson.
I really don't have anything to report. You see Fast Signs is digging their hole. The rezone down on 4300 West and 5500 South, it got approved.
Yeah.
Same way you guys recommended, so.
Okay, that's a Dear Diary moment then, huh?
That's up to you, Mr. Grant.
Other than that, unless you guys have specific questions.
I don't. Anybody else? No.
Then I make a motion for adjournment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We are now adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for attending.
Thank you.
You couldn't say that. Well, I guess you could have.
Yeah.
You still haven't enjoyed it.
I know. Always.